can't keep trying to fit our society into 2,000-year-old rules and mores. It just doesn't work. Okay, it's not gonna work. Okay. Let's see here. D Brooks says thumbs up. All right, D Brooks, appreciate you. Main money, they think there's a high their way or the highway. Henry Jones, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I know on some level I know how that works, yes. But a lot of times what the submissive idea does is allow trifling brothers to hide, trifling insecure brothers to hide behind their insecurity. Okay, behind the idea that a woman is supposed to be submissive, is supposed to be submissive to them. Okay, they're not confident in their own right, so they want to try to use a woman, try to use the idea of within Christianity to basically put the woman into a box to where their manhood is not challenged. Well, you know, if you got two confident people who can think for themselves, they're going to challenge each other, and rightfully should, because iron sharpens iron. Okay, but within Christianity, a woman that is intelligent, a woman that's progressive, a woman that is, you know, educated, you know, doing her own thing, she can't fit with a lot of Christian brothers because they can't handle it. Okay. So, and a lot of sisters are just left out in the cold because of that, you know, and but they have to be able to look at things another way, you know, that they have to consider that maybe Christianity does not work, or the ideas of submissiveness in that context just doesn't work. And because of the way that they're taught in Christianity, they can't even consider that. OK. Yep. Christians, Henry Jones says, my stepdad preached, if you ain't with Jesus, then you're on your way to everlasting hell. Hell doesn't exist. Okay. So yeah, that's not biblical. Let's see. So the Bible is about metaphysics, not about Jesus. Good question, Raphael. It's about life, and it's about life and metaphysics. Okay. So a lot of the stories that are about Jesus are actually expressing universal principles that we can live within, okay, or that's a part of all of us, okay, not one special dude. And that's what the Bible, Christianity did, was take something that is universally about us as human beings and made it about one special dude. Jesus is supposed to be God in flesh, okay? But in reality, we all are, okay? And we're all an aspect of God in flesh, okay? So in that sense, the idea of a lot of the stories that are told as history are actually from the African perspective of a soul. Of a soul descending into the earth plane, or as the ancient Egyptians called it, the underworld. Okay, hell, Hades. Okay, so all those names were the names for the earth that we're living in right now. Okay, the earth plane. But again, unless you learn the esoteric codes, then you'll think of it as literal history, but it's not. Okay. Let's see. All right. I see. I got 134 people and only 72 thumbs up. What, y'all don't like me or something? I mean, what's up? Come on now, get some thumbs up there, people. Some thumbs up. Help a brother out. Wow. So Noah Henley says, Christianity says we are filthy and disgusting because they talking snake convinced two people to bite a fruit. Then God had to take on human form and sacrifice himself to forgive us and our sins in Palestine. Yep. So, yeah, that's the story of Adam and Eve, but it's bullshit. Okay. In actuality, from esoterically speaking, when Eve gave Adam the fruit, okay, you got to understand the fruit actually has an esoteric meaning. Adam and Eve represented.
Hey, family, Reginald Martin here. Are you feeling stuck in life, struggling mentally to find direction and purpose after questioning your Christian beliefs? It's time for a breakthrough. Introducing Unapologetically You, a 3-month program for overcoming negative religious programming and living authentically. This is a one-of-a-kind life-changing coaching program tailored for those on the journey of breaking away from Christianity. My unique skills, knowledge base, and personalized guidance help you to unlearn the negative programming, reform your shattered beliefs, prioritize your own needs without feeling guilty or selfish, and unlock your potential to live life on your terms, and you can discover your true purpose. You can transform your life, throw off those mental shackles, and reach your true potential with Unapologetically You, a 3-month program for overcoming negative religious programming and living authentically. Ready to take that first step? Click the link in the video description to access my exclusive free video, packed with valuable insights to jumpstart your journey. Visit workwithreginaldmartin.com and begin the journey to living life on your terms. Back to the video.
Esoteric ideas, okay? So Adam and Eve actually represents the consciousness of a human, okay? One human being. So whether we're talking about male or female, okay? All of us have a feminine and a masculine aspect. The feminine aspect is our inner intuitive wisdom that we have or that we can gain, okay? Eve represented the inner intuitive feminine that was actually giving the fruit of wisdom. That's what the fruit is represented in the Bible. The fruit is wisdom. Eve was giving that fruit of wisdom to Adam, the masculine. The intuitive fruit, the intuitive knowledge, the intuitive wisdom. The snake in ancient times represented wisdom, okay? So the snake was talking to the intuitive Eve, giving her the download, and then Eve gave that fruit to Adam to help him, okay? What did they get cursed for? They got cursed and thrown out of Eden because they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eve gave Adam knowledge, gave him wisdom. Okay? But Christianity twisted it. Christianity is the only religion that basically looks at knowledge as something that is dangerous. Okay? So again, there are esoteric keys to these ideas. And I put those, there are videos I have on my channel that explain those ideas too. So I believe I got them in playlists. You can go and check the playlist and find all that stuff. Let's see, in terms of the Trinity, Son, Holy Spirit, the feminine principle is omitted. Yes. Could it be possible that God's power disregarded? No, again, it was just, the spirit is actually supposed to be the feminine principle, okay? And in other words, the masculine can plant the seed into the spirit and then the child is born, okay? So that's the Trinity. So that's Isis, Osiris, and Heru, or Asar, Aset, Asar, and Heru, okay? But again, the church just totally wipes away the feminine aspect. Again, it gives people just enough of the real true spirituality to keep you hooked, but it makes you shaky because you can't it puts you in conflict, and they keep you in conflict by keeping you in fear and anxiety, by making you not question, okay? But Christianity gives you just enough of the truth, but they'll hang it on a lot of lies. is what they end up doing. Okay. Let's see. Can you explain why it's been called female intuition when it's that all of us can have the intuition? Eugene, that's a good question. But it's because most women have been taught to stay in connection with their intuition. Most men are not, because the intuition a lot of times ride on emotion, ride on vibration, okay? And women have been, it's been okay for women to be emotional, okay? And when I say emotional, I mean run the full gamut. So whether it's anger, sadness, love, you know, happiness, joy, blah, 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 you know? Women have been okay to do that. Most times, since and for many centuries, and a lot of times we've done this shit to ourselves, for many centuries, the only emotions that men could show in public would be anger and rage. Okay? The only two emotions that they could that they were literally able to show in public. A lot of women don't understand why men make sex such a, like, I mean, shit, it's a whole pastime, okay? Because it's only time that men can show the full range of emotion and it's okay is when they're having sex with a woman or when they're in the presence of their woman and their woman is okay them to do that, okay? So a lot of times men don't even understand why they're chasing sex. It's because they want to be able to express that emotional or have that emotional outlet too. But they only think that it can come with a woman. A lot of times people don't understand the difference between sex and sensuality. Okay? Sex is physical. And anybody can have that. But when you really get into sensuality, which is more spiritual and more connected to your emotions, that's when you really develop a deep bond with that other person, okay? And a lot of men think it's the sex that they're going after, but in many cases, it's the sensuality that they want. They really want that bond. And a lot of times, men are afraid to let go and be vulnerable. Hell, I know a lot of women are afraid to be vulnerable too. But when you really are connected with someone, there's a vulnerability that's attached to it. All right. So, you know, so it's the sex or the emotions, the women's intuition and all our intuition rides on top of emotion a lot of times. Okay. And with men, we've been taught to basically block that out. We're not supposed to feel it. Big boys don't cry, okay? Quit acting like a girl, you know? All these little training phrases that we give our young boys, okay? I was a teacher for a long time and taught eighth graders and I taught fourth graders. And it was interesting to watch how boys treated other boys that might break down and cry about something. Man, they poke all kinds of fun at them. So even in school, a lot of times the boys are being trained to be emotionless, okay? To block their emotions, all right? So, you know, and that's kind of stuff that we have got to grow beyond as a society. Men are human. And men run the full gamut of emotion. Men love just as deep as women. But we'll hide behind sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Or soul, in my case. I mean, rock and roll is cool, but I like R&B and soul. But anyway, but y'all know what I'm talking about, okay? So, men, in that sense, we have to grow up and we have to evolve. And we have to understand that we have an inner wisdom too. And we have to be able to be able to connect to that inner wisdom. We have to be able to connect emotionally. That subtle emotion, when we go inside ourselves, the connecting to our soul and our higher self is very subtle. Okay. And it's not a logical and rational process. Not all the time. So we got to be able to do that. Okay. Let's see. Thank you, Crystal. I'm glad that's helpful for you, because I know you're definitely into the mental aspect of this, and it's huge. So what you're doing, Crystal, absolutely, it can help men, for real. You know, because women, and I'll tell you this, and sisters, I want y'all to understand this. Is a lot of times you're taught that your highest level and aspiration is to be Mrs. Somebody. Okay. That you do everything in your life to be wifey material. But if you think about it, who's deciding who is wifey material or not? Who's deciding that for you? Okay? You're letting society and a patriarchal society put you in a box, your sexual experience in a box, telling that you can't have too many men, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's complete bullshit, and it's a double standard because men are not taught that same thing, okay? But this is the key that you're going to be and that you're going to be able to help men with, is that, brothers, we are not going to be free until the women give us permission, and I shouldn't say permission, until the women are free to be who they want to be. Okay, until they're free to live their life on their terms, we're going to be trapped into a box that society is dictating a lot of things. And a lot of times men are told that we're supposed to be the protectors. We're supposed to be we should protect our women. We should do this for our women. But the whole premise is built on the idea that women are the weaker sex. Okay. So there's an undercurrent of bullshit that's running there. A lot of you sisters are strong as hell and have had to be. And you don't need a man, really and truly. But you want one. Okay? You want to be with somebody. You want a companion. But you don't need him. You want to feel loved and you want to feel appreciated. You want that ain't got shit to do with you being submissive to a man. Okay? But you have to throw off that shackle of believing that you have to fit in the box of what some men's ideal of a woman is. Because really and truly, when you free yourself from those type of ideas, it's going to free men too. Because we don't need to be your protectors. You're not a damn child. Many women have been doing it on their own for a long time. And men, you are putting extra stress on yourself trying to do something for a woman when she can protect her damn self. All of that, again, it's a double-edged sword that we're talking about here. And you got to think about it. We have to rethink relationships. We have to rethink things in another way and from the way that Christianity has taught us to do it. Because it's destroying us as a people. These ideas are destroying us. Okay? So there's got to be a whole new way to think about this stuff, guys. It really does. Okay?
Eve didn't come from a rib. The creation story and its Kemetic origins. The story of Adam and Eve originated in ancient Kemet as a deep esoteric concept that Christian fathers obviously didn't understand, or they deliberately twisted it like a cruel satirical expression. The Genesis story of Adam and Eve has been justification for the subjugation of women in all the Abrahamic religions for centuries. The original esoteric concept recognizes the feminine aspect as an equal and indispensable half of creation and not an afterthought as in Genesis. In ancient mythology, woman does not come from a man. In other words, nothing can be born from a man, so woman has to be first. Taking Eve from the rib of Adam is symbolically, metaphorically, and anthropomorphically unnatural. It's the only unnatural birth in the Bible if you view it as a historical event. It wasn't historical, and actually expressed deep metaphysical concepts.
The story of Adam and Eve originated from the scrolls of ancient Kemet and the Book of the Sayings of the Lord. Women in ancient Africa were not relegated to a subservient place in society like it's been done with any society that has subscribed to the Abrahamic religions. They were the seat of the home and had all rights and privileges as any man. On an esoteric level, the feminine represented the environment and foundation of anything that was created. Woman and man were seen as two halves of a whole in ancient African society that could not exist without the other. The mythology informed those in society of these ideas. The masculine-feminine connection brings us to the ancient Kemetic concept of Tum. Tum is the Egyptian name for the concept of the desire creation has to exist. Human desire is a metaphor for this fundamental aspect of nature. The idea comes from the Egyptian Gospel of Tum, or Sayings of the Lord. The Egyptian Gospel of Tum became the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas. Thomas means twin in its Greek origin. You will see the direct connection to twin, tomb, and Thomas idea quickly when understanding the origin of the myth from its foundation in numerology. Yes, I said numerology. Without the understanding of its numerology origin, the myth is just a story that can be reinterpreted as history, just as Christianity did with the story of Adam and Eve. The Christian fathers basically had to make up the idea of Eve coming from Adam's rib to try and stay true to the original concept. But the idea that woman came from man goes against all metaphysical, mystical, and natural science. Nature was man's first teacher. Without the foundation of the feminine as the anthropomorphic womb, no seed could be planted and be nourished. I'm using our modern term science, but it has a connotation that is separate from spirituality and metaphysics. For the ancients, spirituality was any aspect of life. They didn't separate it from life. They knew first and foremost that you and we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Therefore, science meant learning how to use the laws of nature in your everyday life. That included metaphysical laws. Everything the ancients did connected spirit and matter in ways we've forgotten. Letters and numbers originally were symbols to express and connect concepts of spirit and not just empty words. The sounds of the words were important because they literally would cause the brain and body to vibrate at a certain frequency. You'll see what I mean moving forward. You will also see very quickly how Christianity butchered the original meaning and intent of the Genesis story. I'm going to touch very briefly on this subject in this video, but know that it is only the surface of a vast amount of esoteric wisdom taught in the Egyptian Kemetic spiritual system. Tum as a Kemetic netter is the personification of the initial desire of creation to create. Tum is the abstract idea of the potential within creation to become. The mythological story is that Tum is said to have created the universe when he took his phallus in his grasp so that he may create joy within himself. In other words, Atum masturbated. The hand came to represent the feminine aspect based on the principle of numbers the myth was expressing. What he did is not the message, nor is it a sin. The ancients didn't have the puritanical views on sexuality that became such a part of Christianity. This is how so much of the original meanings got lost. Christians taught that it was a blasphemy to equate anything sexual with God. The message is that Tum had to first generate desire within. Masturbation is symbolic of generating strong desire. I just gave you the science behind manifesting anything in your life. The first aspect you must have is the desire, or nothing is ever put out into the universe to manifest. Tum is an abstract theoretical concept about what happened to create the physical universe on one symbolic level. As the heavens opened, Tum became Atum, and simultaneously became Ra as the opener of heaven and Ptah as the opener of earth or matter. Tum is the totality of potential. As the prefix A is added, that negates oneness. The A in Atum becomes symbolically an important connection to Ra and Ptah because the letter actually looks like something opening up. But now, rather than negating, they become active as Ra and Ptah. In the Egyptian mythology, the opening aspect connects Atum, Ra, and Ptah as the original trinity. Atum negated oneness. Ra opened the heavens, and Ptah punched through the veil and became the foundation of matter. This was a simultaneous occurrence, like we imagine the Big Bang happening. You can see these aspects within the sacred symbols, their shapes and numbers. Ptah is representational of the capital letter I and the number 1, because letters and numbers could be exchanged in ancient times. It was also the phallus that would open the feminine or oneness. You will see the concept of Ptah represented by the Ankh. The Ankh symbolized spirit and matter meeting to give life on one level. The feminine is represented by the circle, and the father or phallus is represented by the eye or one that pierces oneness. The ancients used sexual imagery to express concepts of creation often. Within Ptah is the foundation of all elements needed for spirit to become matter. The fire and water of Atum now is within Ptah. Those two elements reformulate as spirit descends toward becoming matter and become the four foundational elements of fire, water, air, and earth. Atum mathematically represented the monad. The definition of the monad is how we come to the idea of Tum or Thomas the twin. The monad is the principle of number that is an abstract concept. You can think of the monad as simply something that has potential. It's abstract, meaning you can't touch it or see it. It's only an idea. In Kabbalah, Tum is the same concept as Ein Sof. The number 1 is concrete. You can count things starting with the number 1. But the monad precedes the concrete number of 1. Understanding the difference between the monad and number is one key. The monad, again, is abstract. It's potential. The number 1 is concrete and tangible. You can touch one thing. The ancient Africans taught that sound was the organizing principle of the universe. Ra said, "I am the eternal. I am the word. I created the word." This line from the Book of Coming Forth by Day, also known as the Book of the Dead, is also the Bible verse John 1:1. Again, as Ra opened the universe, sound was one aspect and the organizing principle of everything in existence. This again is another powerful science nugget that should inform you on how it is part of your life. Vibration is a key to living your life daily. Understanding how vibration works within you will help you transcend day-to-day life. Now, the numbers that became numerology expressed how the word or vibration functioned within creation. Numbers were masculine and feminine and coupled together to create. Odd numbers are masculine and even numbers are feminine. The number 1 in sacred science is masculine and feminine. Ptah is symbolized with one leg because the function of nature he represents are masculine and feminine. Again, nothing to do with gender. Atum, Ra, and Ptah are not different gods as those of us who follow Kemetic science has been taught. They're the analysis of the same occurrence within nature and creation viewed from different aspects. It's analogous to a person being a doctor, a wife, and a soccer coach. They're not three different people, just different aspects of the same person. So it goes with Atum, Ra, and Ptah. They're different aspects of the one source of creation. I'm expressing the connection to these ancient symbols and myths because the stories they tell explain mathematical concepts and ideas as well. Today we use the math void of any mysticism or connection to metaphysics or spirituality. Oftentimes, the meanings are hidden with a kind of shorthand within symbolism. Unless you're privy to the teaching, you have no clue what the symbols mean. We worship the idea through our religious and spiritual systems and still miss the depth of knowledge that was taught. The ancient Africans were giving you the secrets of nature. They were giving you the science of the universal laws to apply to your life. This is where the church failed believers. They despiritualized the teachings. The idea of Atum represented tantalizing metaphysical concepts. Atum is where the story of Adam and Eve originated. Christianity taught us that the story was historical and that it was about the fall of man at the hands of the woman. Everything that was metaphorical truth about this story was reversed and made a lie as if it were some cruel joke or satire by Christianity. Think about it. A tree of life was put in the Garden of Eden, and then God made it a sin to eat from it because it will make mankind knowledgeable like the gods. In other words, it was a sin to gain knowledge. Isn't that idea still a part of Christianity to this day? Anything you learn about Christianity outside of the Bible is satanic or evil. Cruel satire it is. As an allegory, the story of Adam and Eve has deeper esoteric meaning. In the original Kemetic science, Atum as a metaphor meant the dawning of a new consciousness on earth. Atum, or its cognate Adam, is expressing the concept of how mankind dawns as conscious beings constructed with masculine, feminine aspects within us. Not gender, but symbolically we consciously have this outer-directed awareness that is our reality, which is the masculine aspect of our consciousness we call ego. And at the same time, an inner-directed consciousness that perceives our inner subjective and intuitive world in which the outer reality is created, which is the feminine aspect. The mind of man is the middleman, so to speak. The inner feminine aspect was first. Then came the masculine ego that perceives physical reality. Again, I mean masculine and feminine as functions of consciousness, not gender-based characteristics of male and female. Carl Jung would call these two functions anima and animus. We can take the biblical concept of Adam and Eve to a more nuanced meaning than the story we were taught to accept. It had nothing to do with the woman that caused the downfall of mankind. That Christian concept is a complete and utter misapplication of the esoteric science. Let's take this story a little deeper symbolically. Eve, picking the fruit of the tree of life and giving it to Adam, was symbolic of the inner mind extending wisdom to the physically focused egoic mind. In ancient esoteric symbolism, the leaves of the tree of life would be life experiences. The fruit from the tree of life is wisdom gained from life experiences. Esoterically, Eve represents the intuitive feminine aspect of us all that feeds the egoic aspect of the mind, wisdom gained through life experience. The fruit is that wisdom that we get to partake in when we awaken intuitively to the higher mind, or as the Africans called it, the higher Ka within us. The feminine aspect fed the fruit to Adamic ego masculine. She gained the wisdom from the serpent, which symbolized wisdom in ancient times. Isn't it rather stupid to think that a snake could talk? When the Christian God is involved, science and logic cease to exist. The church made the truth a lie and beat down women with that lie for centuries. Again, a cruel satire. The power gained from that inner connection and wisdom will build confidence, self-love, and appreciation. Confidence is a requirement for living authentically and spiritually and being soul-centered. Soul-centered means you live in alignment with your soul. That means living life through your joy and passions. Appreciating and loving the expression of God in flesh that you are. True confidence will demand that you be authentically soul-centered you. Christian fathers twisted the concept of the monad and sublimated the feminine aspect, Eve, as coming from Adam's rib. In other words, they recognized the monad as masculine and feminine. But obviously, when it was made historical, all the wisdom that could be gained from the mythology was lost. The myth not only became the message, it was made historical and damned women to second-class citizenship for centuries. Again, cruel satire of Christian doctrines. Understanding the esoteric foundation of Christian doctrines can give you a new perspective, unravel the BS, and free you from the old beliefs. What I express in this video are these concepts simplified. They're much more nuanced and have many levels that require more study. My point to this is, don't take my one meaning given as the totality of these teachings. That would be a mistake. Even as many people leave Christianity, they still have a Christian-based value system. It colors their view of the world and how they see themselves. Believing in the Christian myth teaches that God is outside of you and its creation. The myth of Atum expresses that it is all of creation. The letters TM in Tomb designate it as the totality of all created things. Christians got the idea of God being the Alpha and Omega from the African expression of Atum. Because Christian practices that God and man are different in substance, they created doctrines like the fall of mankind to express humanity as born sinful, broken, and defective. A byproduct of accepting these Christian teachings is oftentimes self-loathing that produces difficulty in living life authentically and unapologetically as you, due to the difficulty with self-acceptance and self-love. It affects every area of your life and can be a drag on you living in a way that makes you live life to the fullest. I teach these comedic concepts not to attack Christianity, but to build a foundation of love and acceptance for your own unique gifts that you bring to humanity. If you don't like who you are, you can accept the teachings of being cursed rather than a unique gift. You will see others through that prism as well and not value them, wanting them to fit a certain prescription. We see the results of this idea around the world where countries are aligned religiously and kill each other in the name of their God. We see racism and sexism as part of our experience because people believe they're different, when in reality, we're all God in different forms expressing itself. If we could only look at each other that way, as expressions of one God disguised as different individuals. Unity won't come when we all think and believe alike. It will come when we all vibe alike, with the frequency of love and compassion for each other. There are many concepts in the Bible that are numerology and myth made historical. Adam and Eve is only one example. As with the Kemetic mythology, so it goes with the biblical mythology. The story is not the message. The esoteric knowledge beyond the story is about the science that helps you to use the laws of the universe to live the life you desire, being bold and fearless. The biblical story of Adam and Eve is particularly troubling because it has been used to justify the subjugation of women. I hope that my elucidation of the esoteric meaning will begin to restore the truth that women are a half of the whole, not less than in any way, shape, or form, just a different aspect of the one. The Christian translation of this knowledge has been a travesty to women all over the world. Let's change that beginning today with the true knowledge of the comedic sciences. You can subscribe to my channel for future updates. Please like and share with those that would benefit and be empowered by this knowledge.
So, for example, let's take the divine feminine. This is one that people really get kind of like out of sorts on. The divine feminine is not a female. It's not a woman. Men and women have divine feminine aspects. And guys, listen to me, because this is going to make sense. The ancient Egyptians or ancient Kemetians looked at the idea and tried to have us understand what tapping into the divine feminine was like. So what they used as a symbol for the divine feminine was the womb. Okay. Where is the womb in the body, in a female body? Okay. It's inside her. So when you go to your inner self and your inner place, you're going into your own womb. You're going inside yourself. In the womb, it's dark, it's watery. Okay. All those aspects are the divine feminine. So men, when you literally are being creative in whatever you do, you have to go inside your mind and inside yourself to pull out whatever that creation is. And that creation is birth from you and from your divine feminine. So it's not being feminized or acting like a woman. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with you going in. It's your inside journey. And in order to connect to your inner self, you have to go through the divine feminine. Okay. Let's see. It's not real. Keep it lower. People who don't truly know themselves. It's not real. It's to keep low vibrational people who don't know themselves. Yes, that's a lot of what religion does. It keeps you in low vibrational energetic and a low vibrational energetic mentality. How do you know when you're off the path? The simple thing is, and this is what I can say to you guys, is that when you're creating and when you're doing, when you're living your life, when you're having fun, that's when you're at your highest vibrational state, okay? When you're enjoying yourself. When you are on your path, you stay on your path by doing those things that bring you joy, okay? It's really that simple. It's really that simple. And that's definitely something that we'll be addressing in deep detail in the class. But following your joy. So these ideas, yes, they're definitely archetypes that we're talking about. So most definitely. Let's see. So exactly, you do truly find out that you are the flesh of the universe, aka God, and that death is not a bad thing. Be controlled anymore. True that. Hotep Z-Map, Hotep. Let's see, Nicholas. Hotep Nichols. Manifestation and the law of attraction. Hey, brother, this in that time says, please speak on the manifestation and the law of attraction. Everything that we're talking about is law of attraction. So all this stuff that they talk about today as far as law of attraction is concerned, guys, that's African spirituality, plain and simple. That's when we get into Ma'a, when we get into Isis and Nephthys and all this stuff is the law of attraction things.
Hey, good morning, family. I'm doing what I do. This is Reginald Kouakarou, and you're at Pemetic Centered Living, and this is where you learn how to live life boldly, authentically, unapologetically, and on your terms without guilt or shame. All right? So one of the things I wanted to talk about today was something I talked about this on my live last night, but I wanted to reiterate this here on one of my coaching walks, I guess you can call it, is that the idea of the divine feminine. And I want to put this into the context of really personal development and practical application, because a lot of times we have these ideas that we were taught that are so-called spiritual stuff. And in reality, it's all spiritual, you know. And I guess I got to put it into context. This is about your life. This is about living your life in a way and up-leveling your life, okay? So, and let me put this first. Let me ask a question first, okay? And so I can help you to put this into context. Maybe somebody, and I'll just relate it to myself, okay? When I was really, I was on my job. My job as a school teacher. And I got to a point to where I was just tired of school teaching because I honestly didn't feel like I was making a difference in that system, okay? With the standardized testing and all of that, my hands were tied as far as what I could really teach my students, and they were middle school students, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, but that's a very impressionable age. So I really got tired of it, okay? I was getting a paycheck, you know, every month, but the money just was not worth it. I really wasn't into it, and I wanted to make a change. Okay, I wanted out. And I felt deep down that there was something that the skills that I had learned as a teacher, there was something that I could do more and I could earn more income. In other words, I could write my own paycheck, okay? Now, understand I'm talking this, I'm leading up to the divine feminine, okay? And what this means, and I'm just kind of setting the stage here, okay? So my belief, underneath all of that, my belief was that I could do something better and I could do something different, but I didn't know what at the time, okay? And I had started studying this knowledge, but I didn't necessarily know what to do with it, and I knew that it was something that other people needed. Now, let's go to the divine feminine, okay? And I'm going to put this in context. Most people will tell you that the divine feminine has something to do with women, okay? That they put it in the context of women have divine feminine and men have divine masculine. Wrong, okay? And this is going to make sense, so stay with me. This is going to make sense. Just use common sense and tell me if it doesn't make sense to you, okay? Of course, if it doesn't, shut me off and you don't have to ever listen to me again, okay? Now, understand that when the ancients, we translate ancient text, people are using their creativity to try and put it into the context of our language today, all right? So when they're talking about the divine, the idea of divine, understand first, divine simply means universal, okay? That is something that's universal to us all, whether to all of humanity, to all of creation. It's universal, okay? So the divine feminine is something that is universal to humanity. It doesn't matter if you are a man or a woman. The divine feminine is something that is in the context of us as beings, as human beings. Okay, so that's the first thing to understand, that when people are talking about divine feminine energy and stuff like that, understand it goes deeper than divine feminine energy. Now, what I am telling you, this is another thing that I get, is people will ask like, well, what book did you get that from? Okay. As if, in other words, I'm just regurgitating something that I read from a book. And guys, my insights do not come from a book. And that's what the ancients were trying to basically express and taught, is that your insight, your wealth of information does not come from something that you read, okay? The words can't communicate all the knowledge and information that is needed to gather insight and to gain wisdom. Okay? So when we're talking about the divine feminine, understand that this idea is first, it's represented by a female, but the female is more, it's a metaphor, okay? And it is put in the context of using the female body to express a more abstract metaphysical concept, something that is above and outside our physical experience necessarily, okay? So in this context, one of the ways that you can look at it, and I said one of the ways because people want to take these ideas and give them one single interpretation and that's it. Again, that is wrong. That's not how the ancients developed their symbolism, okay? It goes a lot deeper. And I talk about this in my class, The Esoteric Christ, my course, The Esoteric Christ, and get a little bit deeper. But we're going to stay on the context of the divine feminine. So using the female anatomy, where does creations come from, okay? In other words, when something is birthed, or using the analogy of a child that is birthed into the world, it is first in the womb of the mother. okay? So in this context, the divine feminine is where any creation or any creative aspect is birthed. So when I was wanting to basically do something different, I had to tap into my divine feminine wisdom and figure out what I was going to do. I had to go through a creative process. And what came out of that creative process is something that we call the divine feminine is where that creation is birthed from. I don't care whether you are a man or a woman, okay? Men birth ideas into the world just as women birth children. Women birth ideas into the world just as women birth ideas in the world just like they birth children. The process is the same no matter whether it's a child or a business or a building or an invention. It is the same process, okay? And your divine feminine is where that process or that creative process happens, okay? Again, whether you are man or woman, all right? You're not gonna hear this in a book, okay? The way I'm explaining it. But I'm asking you again, just to use common sense and question yourself, question me. Does it just make sense what I'm saying as far as the divine feminine? There is a reason why the ancients used symbolic language to express ideas, because a lot of times written word could not express the idea because it was meant to have you tap into your own insight. That's why symbolism was used, okay? When we had these ideas written down, like in the Bible, what you're getting is actually esoteric knowledge that was written down. But it was written in a way that it was coded so it could still, the person that had ears to hear could still read that and understand that there was something more to it. So when you're reading Bible scriptures and the Bible stories, and I like to use Lazarus, the story of Lazarus is one of those, because there's so much, there is open and blatant esoteric Egyptian symbolism written into that story, okay? It's blatant if you know what to look for with the symbolism, okay? If you understand the Egyptian, ancient Egyptian symbolism, all right? But that's just the tip of the iceberg once you even figure that out, okay? So the divine feminine is relevant to men and women, okay? To women and men. It is not a divine feminine energy. What if I can help you understand what the divine feminine is for all of us, it is the environment, our inner environment, our inner womb, okay? It is where our creations come from. All right. So if you're going to change the world, okay, your creation is going to come from your inner environment. But what we have had happen within us that have been believers in Christianity, we have had our inner environment corrupted, okay, with doubt, fear, negativity, lack of belief that we have in ourselves of even creating something, okay? That has to change. You have an absolute superpower and the ability to create as a god or goddess in training, okay? But you have to understand these ideas. Well, no, you don't have to. I'm saying to you that in order to develop who you are, to bring into reality your desire that you want to create, And what I'm hoping is that people who are desiring to make a difference in the world and to impact their communities will take this knowledge and start to develop whatever they need to do to impact the world, okay? People that are in business, people or that want to go in business, you have to tap into that divine feminine, but you have to change your environment, okay? That's one of the reasons why I created the African Mind Rewire. You have to change your environment. You have to rewire your mind and from the corruption and from the negativity that you get from religion and a lot of other sources in our world today, from our TV and stuff like that. We literally have our minds hijacked and are really made to believe in our limitations when there are none, all right? The only limitation is in the mind, in your mind, all right? But you have the ability to override that. You have the ability to create and birth something more into the world, all right? So that's what the divine feminine is about. In the Bible story of Adam and Eve, we've been given a story that Eve corrupted Adam. But understand, the story had a deeper meaning. Eve, as the divine feminine, represented our intuitive wisdom, okay? Adam was the ego that is turned into the physical world. And please don't take the ego as something negative. Your people teach that, get rid of your ego, do that. No, it serves a purpose. And it serves a powerful purpose, okay? But Eve, esoterically, was the intuitive wisdom. The snake meant and represented wisdom in ancient iconography and ancient symbolism, okay? So again, you have to understand the symbolism. And I'm teaching that in my course, one of my courses, and I'll put up the, it's basically teaching esoteric language and teaching the comedic esoteric language to you. But this is what it'll do. Understand, our intuition comes from our divine feminine, okay? Our creativity comes from our divine feminine. If you're going to create anything and birth it into the world, you first have to tap into your divine feminine. And if you don't grasp that and understand that, if it is corrupted with doubt and fear, your creation probably won't be able to break through the physical barrier from the metaphysical. All right? So I hope this is helpful to someone that has been wondering about this or has thought about it. I hope that it is provocative enough that you will at least go and study something a little bit more, all right? Because we have to change some things in our society, and we have to, as a people, especially, and I'll talk specifically to my Black community, we have to change some things, you know? And there's no savior coming, you know? There's us, you know? And I'm not saying that from, let's focus on the negative stuff, because I know people will do that, you know, oh, the European is your, no, fuck that. We gotta take care of it ourselves, okay? Quit pointing fingers and the blame game. I know all of that. Again, I've been around for a long time. I'm ancient. Okay, maybe not that ancient, but I've been around and I've seen some things, okay? And I know that the complaining and finger pointing does not work. I mean, think about it. Has it? You know? So let's change it. And we have to tap into that divine feminine wisdom within ourselves and come up with some creative solutions. All right? The solution is not changing them out there. It's not going to happen, okay? The solution is you understanding your creative ability and having an environment with the confidence to bring forth that creation from the metaphysical into the physical. That's what's going to need to happen. All right, guys. I'm going to be signing out. Again, this is Reginald Kouakaru at Comedic Center Living. I hope this wind is not too much. It's starting to get a little bit chilly now on that walk, but I like it. But y'all have an amazing day, and I will talk with you another time, okay? All right, y'all have a great day. Bye-bye.